This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, December 1st, 2024. Christmas Unboxed, the gift of hope.
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Special delivery. Special delivery. I have a special delivery for Pastor Kerry Jones. Pastor Jones.
That's me.
Good morning. Hi. I'm Mr. McYealy from Speedy Delivery. How are you doing this morning?
I'm okay.
Good. I have a package right here for you.
Oh, my goodness. What is it?
Well, I don't know, but it's got to be very important because you have to sign for this.
Okay. Where do I sign?
Right here.
Okay. Wow. This must be really valuable since I have to sign for it.
Yes, it is. That's the way we do that.
Let's see what it is. Well,
before we open that, though, I have to do what our company policy is. I have to make sure that I get a picture of me delivering it to you, okay?
Oh, okay. Whoa. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Great customers. Here we go. Are you ready?
Ready.
Smile. There you go.
Well,
enjoy.
Thank you, Mr. McYealy. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Well, I wonder what it is.
I wonder what that is.
Oh. Well, let's open it and see. Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Look. It's the gift of hope. Well, good morning, Connection Church. My name is Kerry Jones.
I'm Alan Jones, and this is the first Sunday of Advent, that season in the church when we prepare our hearts, minds, and most especially our spirits for the coming of Jesus Christ. This Advent season, our theme is Christmas Unboxed, and this morning we're going to be looking at the gift of hope.
We are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you pray with us? Almighty God, we thank you so much for today, which is a gift. We thank you that we have this opportunity during this month of December to focus on preparing for you, the Savior of the world. Settle us in right where we are. Open our hearts that we would receive what you have in store for us. We thank you, O promised Savior. Amen.
Amen. Christmas Unboxed. You know, there's a lot of unboxing that goes with this time of year. Kay and I, we've been unboxing trees and decorations, ornaments, candles, wreaths. I can't wait to unbox some candy and cookies in a few weeks before Christmas. And Kerry will be unboxing daily, maybe a couple times a day, after that guy from Amazon drops off all the stuff that he drops off.
Yeah, there should be some more delivered today.
That one truck that's assigned just to our house for the month
of December. That's right.
You know, he must lose his job when January gets here. But anyway, most all things we get, we receive, we have to unbox, don't we? Unboxing literally goes hand in hand with this time of year.
But we figuratively unbox Christmas as well. In fact, that's what we're doing during this time of Advent. Advent is a season of preparation. And so we're unboxing different things in order to prepare our hearts for Jesus. You know, one thing that goes hand in hand with preparation is focusing on the promise, and that is hope, the gift of hope. We say hope is a gift because it's not something that we take, but it's given, just like the love that God has for us, that agape, unconditional love, that's a gift. And so is hope, a gift that God gives through the Holy Spirit. Take a look at Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a great prayer. That is a great, so that you may overflow, not just have a little bit or up to the brim, but overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
You know, in the Old Testament, there are many Hebrew words that translate to hope in English. One of the most common is a word, tikva. It's one found in that well-known scripture from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Say the rest with me, will you? Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, when the world talks about hope, that really is wishful thinking. Something that may or may not happen. There's some uncertainty in this worldly hope. On the other hand, that's not what biblical hope is. Biblical hope is not some feeling that comes and goes, but it is a certainty, an assurance that God's promises will be fulfilled. God does what God promises. You know, biblical hope is not based on this temporal here and now, but it's based on the there and the then, here on earth and in heaven. Again, when we turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8, we read this. In fact, if you could say it with me, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
When we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. Or at least we try to, right? We try to. Interesting, this word translated hope in Jeremiah, the Hebrew word tikva, means not only hope, but it also means to wait. Hope for and also wait for. It means both hoping and waiting, which makes perfectly good sense, doesn't it? Because hoping and waiting go hand in hand. You know, as we saw there in the Romans verse a couple minutes ago, Carrie read. Hoping seems to always involve waiting, doesn't it? Patient waiting.
So, you know, when we were in English, there were root words. Well, the root word of tikva in Hebrew is kava, which is also translated as wait, but it's also as hope. So this word kava is found a number of times in Scripture, one that we're pretty familiar with. It's Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And when we go to that was the NRSV version. But if we turn to the NIV version, New International Version, here's where we see the word. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength.
I was watching an Instagram thing the other day that Barry suggested prepping for this message. And there's a woman, Hosanna Wong, that she was talking about hoping and waiting for God. Hosanna's an international speaker, a best-selling author, and a spoken word artist who serves on teaching teams at churches across the United States. And she, excuse me, she talked on this word kava, on the Hebrew word kava, the word translated as both hoping and waiting. And this is interesting what she said. She said this word kava is not, that it's an active word, not a passive word. In other words, when we're hoping, it's not just sitting there, you know. She said it's not just waiting for God, but she said it's waiting with God. Not for God, but with God. The waiting, this hoping, is not just wasted time. While we're not, it's not like we're on hold while God is talking on the other line with somebody more important, with more important things to do. She said that what God has for you and me is so important that it must be cultivated in the waiting. The waiting, this hoping, is not punishment, she said, but it's encouragement. The hoping and waiting are important. They are crucial, in fact.
Sometimes it does feel like punishment, doesn't it? And sometimes we're waiting for instead of waiting with. But that's the promise, that he is with us always, even in the waiting. Now these words, kwava and tikva, also have another meaning. They're associated with the words rope or cord. They mean a binding together, a braiding together. Think about that three-strand cord where we're interwoven. That is such a great image to me, this season of hoping, this season of waiting. God is using that time to intertwine, to weave in with us. Not some distant God out here, but here with us. And as Alan said, the time is not wasted, but God uses it to prepare us for something. That waiting is hard. I've come to embrace the waiting because it is the place where I grow the most, in the waiting. And this idea of this rope and cord really does give me comfort and peace. I hope it does for you as well, as it symbolizes God's plan for your future that connects you with him and with one another.
We unbox hope at Christmas because the Hebrew people were very familiar with hoping, very familiar with waiting, especially when it came to this idea of Messiah, of the anointed one, of the Savior. There are several places in the Old Testament scriptures that point to the one who is coming at some time in the future. You know, we start in Genesis and we proceed from there, and there are prophetic verses throughout pointing to the one that they were hoping for, that they were waiting for. Now, different biblical scholars and writers include different verses. Some say some are, some say aren't prophetic verses from the Old Testament, with some Bible scholars suggesting that there are as many as 300 or more Old Testament scriptures pointing to the one who's coming, pointing to the Christ. 300 scriptures. Now, if you've ever looked at these kind of things, some of them are a little more obscure than others. Some you go, I'm having trouble seeing that, but you know, some of them are not quite as apparent. But there are definitely some pretty definitive verses that offer hope in the waiting of the people of Israel for the Messiah to come.
A lot of these verses are found in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah was a prophet. For example, Isaiah 7:14. This is the NLT version. All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us. Did you notice in this particular version how the will is four times? It's not maybe. It's not, not sure. This is will. This is definitive. It's not gonna, it's the gonna be. It's gonna happen. Not a maybe. Will.
This was shared some 700 years. 700 years before the birth of Christ. This passage gave hope to the people. Now, they didn't know how long it was going to be. They didn't have a stamp saying, okay, 700 years, it's coming. No. And so the hoping, again, was coupled with waiting, long waiting. Waiting not for God, as we said, but with God, as he prepared his people for the one to come.
And so that was Isaiah that I just read. I want to point to Isaiah chapter 9, Some of you may have heard this before. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen.
And the prophetic verse again later in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. And the prophet kind of paints a picture that many of us maybe can understand or can relate to. Here's what he writes. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth.
He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. Say the last line with me. And a little child will lead them.
Maybe you've seen this before. I know I have. You cut a tree down in the yard, right? And maybe you don't have a stump grinder handy, so the little stump stays. And you figure it's dead. How's it going to get any life, any nourishment? The leaves are gone. It's down to a stump. And then a year maybe later, and maybe in the springtime, you see this little, see some nods coming. And actually, you probably don't want to see it because you want it to die. I got this one on the side of the house. I've cut that thing down four or five times. That little green twig starts to come out, right? And there's new life in that thing. And that's what Isaiah is kind of referring to when he talks about the stump of Jesse, a new beginning, a new start. Jesse was King David's father. It was the house of Jesse, and then David, and then Solomon. But things from that household have kind of died down over the years. But from out of that stump, this new branch is going to come. His family would bear, Jesse's family would bear the one to come, the one that would have the Spirit of the Lord resting on him, the one with the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the one who would be wearing righteousness as his belt, not a real belt, a figurative belt. He'd be wearing righteousness. That was at the center of who he was. And we're talking who? Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah paints a picture here of the one to come, the one that we are waiting for, the one we are hoping for.
And so the Old Testament is full of the prophetic word, the prophecy that the Messiah is coming, the one that the Hebrew people were waiting for, were hoping for. So the Hebrew words of tikva and kava, it was etched on their hearts. They were a people who were waiting, and then they lost hope, and waiting and lost hope, and waiting as they walked with God. And they were waiting for the one who would save all of Israel, who would save humankind. Is that gift of hope etched on our hearts? Do we realize and take in the promise that God gives us? Promises. Remember that the prophetic word was like hundreds of years before Jesus was born, but it came to be, and Jesus did come just as promised.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's ironic the one they spend hundreds of years hoping for is the very one who brings hope to you and me today. Ironic. When Jesus was born in that stable 2,000 years ago, the waiting was over, but the hope had just begun. A new kind of hope. Not the hope that the Savior would come soon, but the hope that the Savior, what he brings when he does come. And it's not a worldly, maybe it will, maybe it won't happen kind of hope. This is a God-centered, Christ-focused, Holy Spirit-powered hope that focuses on the post-Christmas world where Christ has entered and all things are possible. All things are possible. It's a world where the hope Christ brings is the promise of eternal life. Think about that. And that eternal life doesn't have to start it when we drop dead. It can start at this very moment, here today, right here, right now, in this place. Yeah. It's the hope that the one who was born on Christmas and died on the cross and was raised from the dead and ascended to be next to the Father in heaven, it's the certain hope that he brings that by believing in him, our sins are forgiven and forgotten. Can you believe that? Not just forgiven, but as far as the east is from the west, they are forgotten as well. Wow. Yeah. And that we will spend eternity with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, returning to that paradise that was lost when humankind fell way, 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 way back near the beginning. Yeah. Yeah. This very moment, we have the opportunity to accept that gift that Jesus offers, the gift for you and me, the gift of saying goodbye to the old me, hello, new me.
And so we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for new life in Christ, for knowing that we needed a Savior. How many times have we tried to save ourselves? It just doesn't work. It might for a short time, but it doesn't work. And so our hope this morning is sure and it's certain that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, that God will never turn his back on us. God created you. God loves you. There's nothing that you have done where God says, okay, that was the line. I'm drawing the line. That's enough. That is not God's character. God would never do that. Our hope for you is that you realize the depth of his love. Our hope for you is that you embrace that God sent his one and only Son to pierce the darkness that we put ourselves in, we live in, that gives us light. There's always this glimmer of light. And you know what that light is? That's hope. That's hope. And we can be sure and certain of that. God is never done with us. God is never done with you. He's writing your story right now. Whatever that looks like, he's writing your story. And so we get to live our lives as a thank you note to the one who came to save us, our Savior, who gives us the gift of hope. That's the good news. Let's live it and let's believe it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for this gift that we did nothing to earn or, Lord, it's just because you want us to know how much you love us and that you will never leave us alone. You'll never turn your back. Thank you for the gift of hope. Thank you that when things seem dark in our lives, that you can break that darkness. Thank you, Lord, that when things seem to be what they are, that you have a higher plan. Your thoughts are higher than ours. We thank you, God, for this day, which is a gift. And we thank you for the gift of hope. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name, the Savior of the world. Everybody agreed and said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.